Well, happy Sabbath, everyone. It's nice to be inside with this weather. So I got from my kids from Sabbath school some papers that said, fall in love with Jesus, he never leaves. And they also gave me two little hearts that they'd drawn. And so I'm all ready. And so we're going to pray and then we'll begin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and all the blessings you've given us. Please come into this place and fill it with your Holy Spirit and fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Help these words to be yours and not mine. And help it to touch all the hearts that you need. Please keep all of us safe and anyone from the storm that is happening. And anyone who's traveling, have safe travels. In your holy name, amen. Well, I'd first like to say observation of today is with the songs and the scripture and the prayers that when you're following God, it's like you're in a marching band that's never practiced with anyone else. And we're all looking at him. And then all of a sudden we come together and we can play music and it all goes well. And that's what it feels like. So our topic today is we're understanding God and how he is an eternal friend for us. And our first verse, our verse for today is John 15:13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, my question for today is, should we fear a friend? Jesus desires not only obedience, but a relationship. And we are called to be his friends, not his servants. In John 15:15, henceforth I call you not servants, for servants knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. And how do we be friends with Jesus? That is something we're going to look at today. And right, the verse before that, he says, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. This friendship gives us hope, peace, and a readiness for his soon return. Now, should we fear this friend? This past week, my daughters got into a little argument with each other, and as sisters do. And afterwards, I said, all right, well, let's make up. We need to forgive each other. And they said, okay, and I forgive you, and I'm sorry. And I said, okay, now let's say we're sorry to Jesus, because we need to do that afterwards too. And they said, no, I can't do that. And I was asking them, why not? Why can't you do that? And they said, I can't forgive myself. And so how many of us are stuck not being able to forgive ourselves and are too scared to come to God with any issues that we need him to take care of? It's this shame that we have for what we've done that keeps us from this relationship. And sin can separate us from God, not because he turns away, but because we are hiding from him. And we see in the very beginning, the first sin, what did they do in Genesis 3:3? When they heard God coming through the garden, they hid. And so we're still hiding. But we need to know that Jesus has already experienced all that we could have possibly experienced. He has already had all temptations that we have had. Hebrews 4:15-16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So there's nothing. We always have access to the throne. Jesus has made a straight path to God. There's nothing in between him and us. He can take any prayer or concern we have and take it straight to him. And we just need to remember that our shame should not keep us from receiving the blessings. Ezekiel 33:11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? And so we know that he is already wanting us to turn. And he's been our friend for so long. Before we were born, he was our friend. Before he created the earth, he knew we were there. And he has waited thousands of years to talk to you. And I know for me personally, sometimes, you know, we don't make time. And that is an important thing that we do. And now we're going to see how a best friend treats us. And so I have a story from my mother growing up. I would always say, I love you, Mom. And she would always say, I love you more. And I go, oh. You know, it kind of bothers you when someone always ups you one time, even if it's your mom. You go, how can you love me more? I love you as much as I possibly can. But it wasn't until I had my own children, I said, oh, she's right. She does love me more. I now understand. And so the same thing with God is that he loves us so much more than we can even understand. We can't even comprehend how much he loves us. And he is patiently waiting for us to return to him. He's waiting. He doesn't force it upon us. He makes so every individual has the choice to come to him because he wants us back in love, not in fear. And we see that back to verse 15, John 15, 30, for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. He laid down his life for us because he loved us. Before he had already seen all the things that we had done, and he chose us. And in Isaiah 41, 9 through 10, thou whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from thee the chief men thereof, I say unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, and yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Matthew 15, 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He is ready to receive us. There is nothing that we have to do but come to him and surrender ourselves to him. Now, how do we treat the best friend? Because Jesus is the best friend. And we were once slaves to sin, obeying the enemy, and we thought we had freedom, but really someone else was controlling us in a way that was just trying to bring pain to God. Jesus has stolen us away from the enemy when we cry for help. He is ready and waiting. I know some of us have felt, me personally, too guilty to call out. I'm not good enough. I'm, you know, not ready. You know, I haven't fixed everything, but he is ready and ready for us. And every time we fail and return, he builds our trust in him more. So just falling away once or twice, 70 times, 7 times, he is ready to pick us back up. In Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him also, knowing that Christ was raised up from the dead and dieth no more. Death have no more dominion over him. So we see that Christ has conquered all that we are struggling with. Anything that we have in our lives, he is already capable of taking that out, and we just need to come to him. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And Galatians 5:22, For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only not unto liberty of our occasion to the flesh, but by love. Serve one another, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, godliness, faith, and they that are Christ are crucified, have crucified the flesh, that the affections and lusts, if we live in the Spirit, let us also wings in the Spirit. And so God calls us to give up these things that are keeping us from Him. And God knows that these struggles are there that for His using. So as we struggle with things, we come back to Him, and then we fall away and we come back to Him. And every time we come back to Him, our faith in Him grows stronger and stronger. I know we believe in Him, but is that enough? Even the demons believe, but they do not love or follow Jesus. If we never pray, worship, or change, have we really known Him? Do we really love Him? I know with my children, I want them to obey because they love me, not because they're afraid of me. And they have been the best teachers of how God treats us and has unending patience with us. Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. So we know that His ultimate plan is for us to be with Him. His plan was not to punish us for what we've done. His plan was to save us from what we've done, to save us from ourselves. And we see in the Bible examples of friends of God. In Daniel 6:10, when Daniel knew the writings was signed, so this was after the decree that they should only worship the king, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chambers towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So we see that he didn't start this after the troubles came. He had always done this. He loved talking to Jesus. He loved talking to Him every day, 3 times a day. And Jesus is not a 911 number. He's a best friend you call. We can't just call Him in emergencies. He's there for you in emergencies, but if that's the only time we talk to Him, it's very difficult to have a relationship. I know we probably don't have a relationship with our 911 operators. And then we see with Moses and the Lord, Exodus 33:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. And so we see in this part, friend face to face. That means he speaks to him on an equal level. Jesus and God are willing to come down and speak to us as a friend. We don't need to be afraid that he is so greater than us and doesn't care about us. He wants personal conversation. And we see in Numbers 12:8 that again, with him I spake mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and with the similitude of the Lord shall be beholden. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So here when he's saying not in dark speeches, that means there is nothing, he's not trying to speak to us in secrets or codes or anything. He comes with the word and the Bible to speak to us clearly, that all may understand his word and his desire and his will for us. And then we see in Genesis 18:22, when Abraham is speaking to, and the men turned their faces from thence and went onward and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And so we see that Abraham was able to draw close to the Lord and ask. He asked 50 men, and then God said, if there's 50, I'll stop it. And he said, is there 40? And he said, there's 40, I'll stop it. If there's 30, if there's 20, if there's 10. So each time he was able to come to God and talk as a friend. It's okay to make requests, multiple requests. If there's something we are struggling with, we can come back over and over and request it again. So is our friendship with Jesus one-sided, or is it a mutual friendship? And many of us have, well, I'd say all of us have barriers to this friendship. I know for myself, before I came back to the Lord, I loved video games, and I played them all the time, and I thought about them all the time, and I watched things about them all the time, and it was pretty much my life. And I would try to talk to God, and I wouldn't hear anything. And so, but it was so consuming of my mind that I never had a chance. I never gave God a chance to talk. I never gave myself a chance to listen. And so we can see that some of the things we love become barriers to God, so that we're not able to hear his voice. And sometimes if we love them so much and we're spending so much more time, I know I'd spend hours and hours playing, but how many hours did I spend reading my Bible or praying to him or just trying to listen to him? And so I know that there's many other things in our lives that are just severe distractions, because that's what they are, distractions, to just slow us down and delay us from connecting with God. Because Satan doesn't need us all the way disconnected, just a little disconnected, just a little thing here, there, that takes up our time and keeps us from talking to God. And eventually we're so far away, we look back and where is he? Where did we go? We've wandered so far away, at least myself personally. We see that, things of this world are, we think that are innocent, like games or watching things, but they can really affect you, because as we behold, we become changed. In Isaiah 33:15, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppression and that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Matthew 26:24, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So many of us, our spirits are willing to come to God, but we listen to the flesh. But as we see here, the flesh is weak. It is weak to obey, but it is also weak to control compared to God. So let us not obey the weak flesh, but the strong God. But if you think you're alone in this, that you're the only one, in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are that do all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so we see that you're not alone in this. I struggle with it. Everyone around you struggles with it. And it is all for God's glory that we struggle and overcome. And we see that Jesus, we want God. Jesus knocks at the door. He wants to come in. And we need to let him in and to clean us up. John 13:6-7, then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Jesus came as a servant. He is ready to clean us up. That is his whole mission, was to come and clean us up and prepare us for his kingdom. So we need not be afraid to ask for his help to clean us and ask for his help to cleanse us of all things that are of this world. We need to remove the barriers that are keeping him from accessing our lives. Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can we be walking with Jesus if we don't agree with the things that he is telling us? When Jesus knocks, Jesus longs for a personal relationship with us. He died for you while you were his enemy, Romans 5:8. He knocks at the door. Will you let him completely in? Revelation 3:20. As many as I have loved, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. I am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus wants to come into our hearts and clean our hearts. But we have many rooms that we keep the door shut, and we say, you can clean here, but don't look in there. I can't give that up yet. Don't clean that. We have those rooms that we hide all our junk in, and we say, I'm not ready for you to clean that. But we need to break down the barriers and open the doors and say, Lord, go in, clean it out. And so we need to pray and say, ask the Lord to convict us. What in our lives are becoming our barriers to him? What in our lives are closing doors to his healing love? Psalms 42, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock and established my going. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. So he is ready to lift us up. Now, one lesson, the best lesson I did learn from video games was, if you're headed in a direction and you come across the enemy, you're going in the right direction. So as you go out and you try to change, if the enemy is there, know that you're going in the right direction, because he is trying to stop you from reaching your goal and reaching God's goal. And so no matter what, there will be obstacles in the way. And use that as a marker to see that I'm going in the right direction. If you're trying to give up something, and then a friend comes with so much or opportunities that would cause you to have to do that again, know that that is a trial. That is just the enemy trying to slow you down. But remember, Romans 8:38 and 39. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Revelations 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with the meekness and fear. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is my friend. He is your friend. He died and he rose again, and he is coming back to get me, and he's coming back to get you. I know this is true because he never lied and he has never led anyone astray. Friendship with Jesus gives us peace, forgiveness, and purpose. He doesn't want fearful servants, but loving friends. Be willing to let him into every room of your heart and cleanse you of those things. You will be able to hear his voice and be so much more connected, and a happier life you'll live being connected to him. So a final challenge that we each ask, Lord, what walls do I have in my heart that need breaking down? Because each person is convicted of things on their own time and God's time. So if someone else is struggling with something, it might not be the same as you. And other people might have to give up different things first than you. So we shouldn't judge others on what they've given up or not, but work on our own selves. And we also have to pray and give permission to God to come in. Permission to change us. Permission to break down the barriers. Permission to make us the best servants we can for him. And I want to, just a little extra. So this week, we went to the prophecy seminar, and me and my wife and our kids, it was a day, everything that could go wrong was going wrong, and we said, you know what, maybe we shouldn't go, maybe we'll just stay home. And we decided, okay, we'll go. And so we got there, and I think we were late too, and everything. But that was just a block, because while they were there, he was talking about baptism and the importance of it. And if you have fallen away, it is good to come back and be rebaptized. And I myself was just baptized almost exactly a year from today. It was the 12th of October last year. But I've always been in the church and always thinking, I'm not good enough yet to be baptized. I'm not good enough yet. But know that you are, because you are ready and willing to change. And we went there. My wife was listening to it, and she was baptized when she was about 9, and she felt convicted that rebaptism was best for her at this point. And so many things had happened that day to keep us from having that moment and feeling the conviction and feeling changed. So if you are moving through your life and there's events that you feel you may need to go to, but so much is blocking you, try to go to those, because that is just Satan trying to slow you down and block you, hinder you from reaching your true potential and your true friend, Jesus Christ. As we go out this week, let us all cling to the Lord. And I hope that you can all ask that he shows you in your hearts what it is that is keeping a relationship from growing with him. And remember that there is nothing that can keep us from him. There is nothing that we have done or we could do that will keep us separated from the Lord. He wants to be with us. He created this world for us to be with us. And do not be discouraged when trials come, because that means you're going in the right direction. And soon we will all reach the Lord, and he will come to get us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and all the blessings you've given us. Please help all our hearts to absorb these words of yours and make changes that we are ready for your return, that none may be lost. Help us to go out and spread your love to those around us. Help us to be beacons of your love to anyone we encounter, showing them the love of Christ and leading them to you. We thank you for all you do. In your holy name, amen.